Are you looking for direction in your life? Join us on Reflection Time every Sunday at 5 p.m. We examine world events and everyday issues from a biblical viewpoint, as well as sharing with you a variety of Christian music, including local artists. So tune in to CHMR on Sundays at 5 to Reflection Time.
Back to Reflection Time, and we're going to continue with the presentation by Scott Myers on Battlefield Hollywood, looking at the deception that's being propagated by Hollywood in a subtle way, various movies and writings by these people. So here is continuation of Battlefield Hollywood.
It started a long, long time ago. Aleister Crowley, one of the most evil men in our 20th century, this guy was probably the tippy top of the occult world, if you will. He wanted to be Satan's right-hand man. And if you read into a lot of screenwriters where they got ideas from, a lot of people are into Aleister Crowley's writings. A lot of celebrities follow him. Music is written after him. V for Vendetta, the movie. Movie lines were taken directly from this guy's writings. In fact, the Beatles here, they have him on his album cover right here. So the Beatles were very, very influenced with him. This guy, Aleister Crowley, he started a place where you could basically do whatever you wanted to do, whether it be bestiality or whatever, and he called it the Abbey Road, and the Beatles named their album after that. So that's where they got the idea for Abbey Road. Anyway, Aleister Crowley wrote a book called Magic, Practice, and Theory, where he outlined three of the best ways that you could become possessed by an evil spirit. And I find this very fascinating. One of the three good ways is there are three main methods of invoking a deity. The third method is the dramatic, perhaps the most attractive at all. Certainly, it is so to the artist's temperament, for it appeals to their imagination through his aesthetic sense. So he's basically saying by acting is the best way to invite a spirit in. What does Socrates say on acting? In like manner, the muse, first of all, inspires men herself. The muse is that person that actors all believe that is the spark inside of them, because they are inspired and possessed. They are simply inspired to utter which the muse impels them. For not by art or by knowledge do you say what you say, but by possession. I find what he has to say here very interesting, because in a weird, twisted way, he actually has a lot of truth to this. Think back when Christ cast out the demon out of the man, and the demon went out and he got seven other demons and he came back. Okay? Think about, did that man ask for the demons to come in? Did they knock on his door and say, excuse me, can we come into your life? No, they just came in. So basically, going off of what Socrates has to say, you can either be filled with God or filled with the devil. If you are not allowing the Holy Spirit and allowing God to come into your life and to fulfill that space, it is very easy for the devil to get in there and control what's going on. So yeah, it is by either possessing the Holy Spirit or possessing some other evil spirit that we all operate. But I want to go all the way back to Rudolph Valentino. He was, in the 1920s, so famous. This guy was the Brad Pitt of the day. He was, all his movies were all about passion and about love. And this guy was so famous that when people would follow him around, they would basically start a riot. They would have to have police pushing people back. I mean, there were stories where he would throw his cigarettes on the ground and people would just dogpile and take it home and build a shrine out of it. Absolutely, completely famous, this guy. He got most of his movie script ideas from his wife, Natasha. And in a documentary about Natasha, it says every night Valentino's wife, Natasha, would hold a seance calling forth from the spirit world to help her in a creative undertaking. And then with her pencil and paper in hand, she would go into a trance and start writing. This is called automated writing. After her outpourings were typed out, they were brought to the set the very next day and given to the director. So this is the movies that Valentino was making. His wife would go in, have a seance, have an automated writing, channel the spirits through her, write them, go give them to the director, and those are what Valentino made. Made him extremely famous. Almost overnight, what was considered sinful, which is sex outside of marriage, was starting to be redefined as popular, trendy, and even exciting. You see, in that time, and in the early 1900s, America was found on very, very strong Christian values. So the devil has to start to unlock those Christian values. Well, of course, a little bit later, Mae West starts to hit the scene. Mae West was such a huge influence in the world and the way that men viewed their spouses or their partners or even women for that matter. She started to completely change the ideas in people's heads that, you know what, you don't have to be married. And this is what Mae West had to contribute.
1930s, motion pictures were one of the mainstays of the Great Depression, and attendance to movie theaters skyrocketed.
Hello, folks. I wish you were up here at Mr. Grauman's Beautiful Theater to see the grand opening of premiere of my new picture, I'm No Angel. Of course, I didn't call it I'm No Angel for nothing. Don't forget, come up and see me sometime.
Movie star Mae West was also known as the Queen of Sex and the Statue of Libido. Her work helped to topple the biblical sexual boundaries that were deeply embedded in the people of the early 20th century.
She can have a romance with somebody outside of wedlock.
I've got another man in my life.
It was pretty raw.
I don't know how many that makes.
It was pretty raunchy for that era.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
No star had greater impact in the long run than Mae West. Mae West was a one-woman sexual revolution.
So Mae West starts to open up the door to unlocking marriages and starting to have women go, you know what, I can have more than one partner. Here's what her psychic, Kenny Kingston, said about her. When she was upset that no one had been able to come up with a script idea, she had walked about her room saying, forces, forces, come to me, help me write a script. And when she would begin to hear voices and images, the plot was revealed to her. Mae would summon stenographers to work with her around the clock, and she would lie in bed in a trance-like state, dictating as the spirits entered. And if you look at Mae West's movies, it doesn't take a far stretch. Mae West, I'm No Angel. The sensational Mae West. I mean, these are things that are just very horrible things for this time period. And then Marilyn Monroe hits the scene. So here's what Marilyn Monroe has to contribute to this.
7-Year Itch blew the lid off 1950s conservatism.
Hey, wait a minute!
It shocked audiences with its irreverent look at marital infidelity.
I mean, he wouldn't be lying on the floor in the middle of the night in some man's apartment drinking champagne if he wasn't married.
And showcased Marilyn Monroe in her most sexually suggestive role to date.
Let me just go put something on. I'll go into the kitchen and get dressed.
The kitchen?
Yes, when it's hot like this, you know what I do? I keep my undies in the icebox.
She was the sexual icon of her particular time and became, I think, the sex star of the century.
She could make you do anything in the world from that big screen.
Said, what has Marilyn Monroe got that a million other women have and prefer not to show?
Well, that's pretty vulgar if you ask me.
I have a message for your wife.
You can see those early signs of changing values.
Monroe attributed her ability to affect the public to other entities that would inhabit her and take her over. She was known for entering into deep trances before each scene. One of Monroe's close personal psychics recalled how she would draw attention from the spirit world, asking for their guidance.
When she saw a camera, any camera, she lit up and was totally different. The moment the shot was over, she fell back into her not very interesting position. And I don't know how to explain that.
Interesting. So here's somebody that was even in an account with her saying that she was completely different. All of a sudden you turn on the cameras and then you turn them off and she was just totally a different person, but involved in the spirit world. And if you have seen any documentaries about Marilyn Monroe, she was a tortured soul, tortured, lived a horrible life, and just completely unhappy. Here's what she says. She was quoted saying, Jacqueline Hyde, more than two, I'm so many people sometimes, they shock me. I wish it was just me. And if you look at some of Marilyn Monroe's movies, it doesn't take a far stretch to understand where these are coming from. It's dedicated to the new Marilyn Monroe doctrine. Let's make love. Don't bother to knock, a wicked sensation of the lonely girl in room 809. And today, we're so bombarded with sexual content that we don't even blink an eye. Original Sin, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, Sex Drive, it's all about losing your virginity. I mean, these things are just pumping at us at this crazy rate today. It's amazing that our kids are even growing up with somewhat of morals. I Love Lucy. What could possibly be wrong with I Love Lucy? I've seen every episode of I Love Lucy. I'm sure probably some of you in here could say the same thing. But here's how subtle the devil is. I really want to show you this. Let's look at I Love Lucy, or Lucille Ball rather. She became a television actress after the promptings of this woman, Carol Lombard. Okay? She was a major film actress at the time, and it was known as career suicide if she would come down to the little screen. Just people did not do that. But because actress Carol Lombard here, it was because of the spirit of actress Carol Lombard who guided Lucille Ball into taking a chance on television and accepting the offer to star in I Love Lucy. The glamorous comedian who had died in an airplane crash in 1942 appeared to Lucy in 1951. So what do we know about the state of the dead? And because Lucille Ball accepted the spirit's urging to take a chance, honey, she made television history. Now I want you to think, what was I Love Lucy all about?
Hey, I'll tell him the truth.
Don't you dare!
How many times did you hear that? Tell him the truth. Don't you dare! What it was basically a manipulative, lying woman who was constantly trying to deceive her husband and everybody else around her, wrapped in laughter. Wrapped in laughter, because laughter gets you in the door. And you see how it's coming from many different angles? You have the Marilyn Monroe type that are starting to unlock the sexual bonds between a man and a woman. Then you have things like this that are coming and unlocking just the honesty between everybody. Isn't it... should be no question why we have such a divorce rate today. Because these are the things that everybody grew up on. In fact, today we have shows, we don't even hide the names anymore. Lie to Me, Jim Carrey, Liar, Liar. You know what Jim Carrey's Liar, Liar's movie was all about? Where he actually couldn't lie for a whole day. The whole movie was basically trying to say that given under certain circumstances, you should be able to lie. There is some chance out there, some way that a lie is actually okay. And that's basically what that movie was all about. There is a comic book writer named Alan Moore. He's written quite a few comic books. Watchmen just came out last year and was quite popular. V for Vendetta came out a couple of years ago. He's written some Supermans. He wrote From Hell that Johnny Depp was in. He wrote a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which Sean Connery was in. Alan Moore is a very open... He worships a god called Glycon, and he's very open about it, and it's a little snake god. And here's what he says. I decided I was going to become a magician. All of a sudden, a lightning bolt hit. It all got a bit strange, and for months after that, I was looking back, probably in some sort of borderline schizophrenic state. I found myself seemingly in conversation with an entity, his presence that surrounded my head, moving and speaking lucidly to me. I was very spaced out, godstruck. You babble for a while like an idiot, and I must have been unbearable for 2 or 3 months. I've now integrated that into the rest of my life. So that's how he started involving himself in spirit worship. And this man is one of the number one biggest comic book writers out there. And he's got a list of movies that they're going to just continue to make. Alan Ball, he is the writer-director of a movie called American Beauty. I don't know if anybody has heard of this movie. He also did a series called 6 Feet Under. When he was asked by Amazon.com that the writing, it feels so cathartic, did it come quickly? Alan Ball says this, I got into the zone and it seemed to have a life of its own and the characters seemed so real. It was like channeling. Peter Sellers, the guy who played Pink Panther, here's what he says about acting. It's rather like being a medium and laying yourself wide open and saying, I want a character to inhabit my body. I want a spirit to take charge of me so that I can produce what I hope to produce. Robin Williams told Us Magazine when they asked him, how are you such a brilliant actor? This is what his response was. Yeah, literally, it's like possession. All of a sudden, you're in and you get this energy that just starts going. But there's also that thing. It is possession. In the olden days, you'd have been burned for it, but there's something empowering about it. I mean, it is a place where you are totally. It is a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where you can really become this other force. Director Taylor Hackford says this about Keanu Reeves from The Devil's Advocate. Keanu is a very complex guy with lots of demons in him. I was trying to tap in and utilize that. In fact, Keanu Reeves has come out and said that his acting is like taking demon rides. And he's actually been very open about that. Director Anisco Holland from Totally Clipped says this about Leonardo DiCaprio. Leo is like a medium. He opens his mind and body to receive messages coming from another person's life. Director Baz Luhrmann from Romeo and Juliet says, with Leo, you might see 30 people come out of him in a day. Johnny Depp says, I know I have demons. I'm 30 different people sometimes.
And also, I love the script. I love the whole idea of selling your soul to the devil. I'm kind of like, it's very intriguing to me.
These are very popular, famous actors and actresses saying these things in the real world. This is Jack Black at the MTV Music Awards.
Previous winners of Best Rock Video are some of the most exciting acts of all time. Green Day, Linkin Park, and of course, Aerosmith.
Yeah. Now listen, since we're given a rock award tonight, who wants to pray to the devil with me? Who's in with me? Come on, hey, let me see those horns. Let me see those horns! Metal! 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 All right. Now take the hand of the person next to you. Come on, Leighton. Dear Dark Lord Satan.
I'm going to pause it. I can't even show you this because I believe in the power of prayer. I don't even want you guys to hear a prayer to Satan. But I want you to know, look at all these people in the audience. They're all into this. And I don't want to say that, you know, oh, there's not good people out there, there's not bad people out there. But these are the very popular movies and people. And if they're so willing to invite spirits into their lives, what kind of messages are they sending to us? What kind of messages are coming through the movies? We are here to vindicate the character of God. Are we not? That is our purpose. We're still here because we, as a church, have not been able to perfectly reproduce Christ's character inside of the church so that the end will come. Why is there such a fight against our characters? We need to step away from these things that are just constantly putting out there evil thoughts, evil characters, and things that don't build up the soul. Rather, tear it down. This is something that I fell prey to. I watched these people. I focused on them. When you spend so much time learning about somebody's life or learning about who they are, you're in essence really worshiping them. That's why if you learn about Christ, you learn about his character, you will take that on as yourself. Amen. The same thing goes on the other side of the flip coin. The more that we focus on the world, the more we become like the world. So these things that I've shown you tonight, I know that it just seems like, oh man, it must all be evil. It must all be bad. I really, really want you guys to know there are some few good things out there. But why do we always have to draw a line and walk up to the edge? Amen. Why do we have to see how close we have to get to the edge? This is a big, big time waster. It wastes hours and hours of your time. So how much longer are we going to be willing to take just a little bit of air? There's only a couple cuss words in it. There's only one sex scene. How many times are we going to be conditioned to basically say, you know what, I'm going to kind of just turn a little blind eye, but I'm still going to support what these guys are doing by watching their movies? Anton LaVey, the leader of the Church of the Satanic Church. This is one of the guys that started the Satanic Church. He started it off of Aleister Crowley's writings. But this is what he says about the television. The television is the mainstream infiltration to the new Satanic religion. The TV set, or Satanic Family Altar, which is ironic that he calls it this, has grown more elaborate since the early 1950s, from tiny little fuzzy screens to huge entertainment centers covering entire walls. What started as an innocent respite from everyday life has now become a replacement for millions, a major religion of the masses. Somebody from the other side is calling this what it is. How much more are we going to feed into this? Coming at you from all different angles, television shows, all kinds of movies. And whether or not you may not have seen that movie, why go watch a movie that actor has done when he can even say these words out of his mouth? By just watching, we are feeding into this. Stop focusing on the television is what the world gets their information, and start focusing on eternal things. Deuteronomy 11:16. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away worship and worship other gods and bow down to them. We must heed this warning also. Be careful. Just like the Israelites were standing on the edge of the promised land, they were all looking into this land that they had been promised. Their parents had been promised. Everybody had been promised. They knew what they had to do. And what happened? Right before they went in, apostasy. The kings of the earth sent their worldly influences in, And that led many people away, and many people did not get to see the promised land. And Israel, if you really want to go back and study the Israelites coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land, man, there are so many neat parallels to what we are going through right now. I encourage all of you, go home, read that story. Read what Spirit of Prophecy has to say about that story. And really think about the implications of what it means. We are spiritual Israel standing on the edge of the promised land. Do not be enticed by other gods. Amen. Do not bow down by giving them our attention and setting our eyes on them.
And this brings to an end our program for today. We hope you've enjoyed the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.